Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's WTIC. It's the Rant Line Hour. We'll try to get a couple more rants, a couple more phone calls in. But joining us right now, Bob Stefanowski. Bob, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Good afternoon, Todd. I don't know if you saw the news, the bad news, I guess, over the weekend that there are 11 states with COVID cases rising, and Connecticut is one of them, which again kind of flies in the face of Governor Lamont's claims that we've been the best of any of the states in the country in terms of addressing this, this virus. And I think a lot of it, Todd, and you've talked about it on your show before, I think the problem with the governor's approach is he treats everything the same. And he rolls out these policies to everybody when he should be focusing on people that are the most vulnerable, for example, the people in the nursing homes, and in some cases, the people in the larger cities. And I think because he's used this broad brush approach, he shut down the economy in areas that he didn't really need to have to. And he's underprotected in parts of our state that he probably could have protected and saved a lot of lives if he had focused on it.
Yeah, this drives me crazy. I think it's Windham County that is still at 12 or 14 deaths where it was 3 months ago. I mean, basically, there are four counties where the highs, well, three where the high, where the death total didn't get over 100 or anywhere near it, and maybe one or two just over 100. And then all of the cases are centered in the remaining counties. And this kind of averaging of things and saying, how is Connecticut doing? Or treating one group of people as if they're the same as another group, or one town as if it's the same as another town. These things are confusing. And if you just talk round numbers on big averages, you're not really providing any insights or strategies that might be useful.
Well, it's a very uneducated way to approach it. And to your point, there are some towns now, these are not big towns, but the town of Canaan has never mind deaths, it's got no infections. Chaplin, six cases in the entire town. Sprague, seven cases. So imagine if you're a small business owner or a restaurant owner in Sprague, and you've got seven cases between February and now, and you haven't been able to open your business, or you haven't been able to go full capacity with your restaurant. And they must be sitting there scratching their heads or saying, well, why is that policy to essentially shut down the entire economy of Connecticut? Why is it applying to my town when I've only had seven incidents of the virus? And it just doesn't make sense that he hasn't taken a more educated, a more analytical view at how to approach this. And I think that's why the cases are starting to tick up again. And again, we're only one of 11 states where the cases are starting to rise again. So I don't know how he gets up at these press conferences and Todd and claims victory, because when you look at the real data, he has not done well in response to this virus in Connecticut.
Yes, and I think it's a deliberate lack of leadership done to avoid connection to certain issues. So, for example, the most difficult thing the state is dealing with right now is schools, and perhaps the most important thing it's dealing with as one of the subtopics of the overall COVID response is, what do we do about education? We need kids to be going to school just like we need people to be going to work. And Ned basically withdrew from the discussion, commenting on the sidelines, leaving it to each community to figure it out by themselves and each college to figure it out by themselves. And that has, maybe that's where all of these, this increase in cases is coming from, is it could just be UConn, that if you could back UConn numbers out of it, it would be fine. Or if you could back college numbers. So they cite these numbers, they rate us by these numbers. Connecticut's in the top 11 states, doing the worst right now in new cases. Is that a meaningful number, or is that in ages where we should have gotten warning from the governor, you know, as people go back to school, there's going to be more cases. Don't worry about it.
Well, they're erring on the side of, to your point, Todd, a number of cases. And And with a situation like this, the impact on people, particularly kids, the impact on their mental health is as important as their physical health. And the mental health is very hard to measure. We won't know for years in terms of how much kids' social development was put behind because they weren't part of that social interaction at school. And I think he starts to need to think a little bit about, you can't be zero tolerant of risk on the number side and not think about anything on the mental benefit side. And that's what's starting to become apparent. At some point, we got to get back to normal. I mean, you can't wait for the cases to be zero before you allow some semblance of normalcy back in the state. And if you're focused just on numbers that you want to brag about, that's the policy you apply, and that's what he's done.
Well, I think that's right, and that's maybe where all the energy is coming from around the football issue. Football obviously isn't the most serious thing that the state faces a loss on as a result of COVID, but it might just be the thing that triggers people to pull their focus in and say, you know what, I've had it with this COVID stuff. And it could be this cumulative energy that's been stored up and it's finally getting expressed over the football issue.
I think you're right that it was terrific to see whatever it was, 1,100, 1,200 people. You know, I love to see that action. I love to see that emotion. I think, and football is important, but I would love to see it applied to other areas. And hopefully people are getting the message that, you know, enough is enough. Let's get up there and start speaking our mind. Because Governor Lamont, with his executive authority, there's certainly no legislative oversight right now. The legislature is essentially out of session. So people need to stand up like they did at that football rally and make themselves heard. And I'm happy to see it.
There's another, we're talking to Bob Stefanowski. There's another part of this, Bob, and that is timeline. If you are always only viewing the COVID response in relationship from day one to today, and not thinking about, is this over in 2 months, or is this over in 2 years, or over in 20 years? We don't know. And to the point that you're making about having a surgical response, there needs to be a day-by-day approach where if we're in a down period, if this is a long-term thing and we're in a down period where it's not a problem, that's a time when businesses could be making money, kids could be getting educated, and they're all afraid as leaders. And I think Ned's afraid to, because he's said it, to go too fast, to have to go back on an opening. But I think it's a better approach if this is a long-term problem. You would want to open up when you can, close back down when the numbers spike, let people sock away a little cash, a little experience, a little education, whatever it is, while they can, because, yep, you know, they're telling us now about a surge in the fall. What do we do if we have a surge in the fall and nobody's had a chance to make any money or get any education?
It's a great point, Todd, because part of leadership, you get the sense that our governor is more concerned about being wrong than he is about being right. And if you're more concerned about being wrong, you're going to play defense. And our state has been playing defense for 9 months now, and maybe it was appropriate at the start. But at some point, we got to start playing offense a little bit and taking a little bit of risk so that kids can get back to school and start to socialize. Imagine the theaters, I mean, and the concert venues. They're going to go out of business, and they're never going to reopen. So, and I'm not saying take unreasonable risk, but at some point, you have to, to your point, you have to look at the most vulnerable, certainly the people in nursing homes that are most vulnerable. You need to be very focused on that. But you don't have to take zero risk throughout the entire state of Connecticut in an admittedly small town like Canaan that has zero incidence of the virus. And I think you've got to start being more surgical about it and taking some test areas and opening it up. I agree with you 100%, Todd.
So what would be a more surgical approach? Because these are tough problems. Would you, do you think certain demographics, certainly to me, one of the big failures, I mean, you mentioned playing defense, and I suppose it was playing defense to leave people sitting in nursing homes, but that was a pretty passive defense. I want, as I look back on it, in New York and Connecticut, pretty much the same story. Seniors left to fend for themselves with their families not even allowed to be part of the defense. And the defense is kind of a passive non-defense, which isn't recognizing some of the big dangers. And it leaves the most vulnerable people vulnerable to the disease, doing nothing for them in a critical time.
Well, that's the worst part of it, Todd, because he claimed he was playing defense, but he had no defensive line, because in the rest homes, not only did he not provide the PPE, the mask, he moved infected people into the rest home. So, you know, he likes to brag about how he takes care of the most vulnerable. Those were the people that were least protected, because they were infected by people moving in and they had absolutely no PPE. So that's number one, what you do differently. If you're going to focus on a population, you do something different and you give them a little bit more air cover. You don't move infected people in. You give them every bit of equipment that they need, because we know they're the most vulnerable. And we've had this discussion before. When the book is written at COVID for Connecticut, it's going to be, we had 126 deaths per 100,000. The third highest in the entire country. California, deaths per 100,000, 36. So we have four times the death rate of the state of California in terms of COVID response. And you hear anybody complaining about Connecticut relative to California? Everybody thinks California is worse. But when you look at the most relevant metric, which is number of deaths, Connecticut is four times as much. And he doesn't like to talk about that metric, Todd, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the problem here, is this is being played largely as a political maneuvering game, a sort of a chess game of politics, rather than an aggressive attack on a specific disease and how to best manage it for the well-being of the state. And by the way, I know we've talked about it before, but it hasn't come up much today, but the economic damage might have been way less if the state had taken that surgical approach that you're talking about from the beginning. If you had put all your resources into defending the most vulnerable populations, the rest of the people could have gone along with their normal day-to-day business, and you would have saved a ton of lives and kept the economy alive.
You're exactly right, Todd. You could have focused your efforts on the nursing homes, and there's certain part of the states, Litchfield County and others, that they probably should have never been shut down, not alone for 9 months. You know, you could have waited a few months on those and looked at the rates, but they're astronomically low just in terms of infections. You could have kept part of this Connecticut economy going. And even if you could have kept 25% of it going, it would have been infinitely better than what we're going to end up with after November, Todd, and the dust settles. We're going to end up with a depression in Connecticut. We're not going to end up with a recession. We're going to end up with a depression because a lot of these businesses are not coming back. And I don't hear a lot of discussion about that either in terms of how we're going to get ready for it.
So you're suggesting that people are doing their best to hang on using saved money to keep a business open, to hope that things return to normal quickly enough for them to survive. But if there's another, if this problem continues into the fall the way they're discussing, with flu season coming and maybe a resurgence of the virus, then everybody's in a weakened position in terms of their financial strength.
You know, I'll tell you, we've been handing out masks for 9 months now, and there's certain poignant moments. One was when we were at Rentschler Field, which was also a food handout. And you saw a lot of new cars driving up there, and you wonder, you know, why is this? Well, a lot of people, they don't have a lot of money in the bank. They've got 3 or 4 months of rent payments and 3 or 4 months of car lease payments. And the people would drive up and they said, I never thought I'd be in this line. Never in my life did I feel that I'd ever be in a line asking for food, but I burned through my savings. And, yeah. and it's happening. And it's not that far from the surface for a lot of other people in our state. So we better get this economy moving quickly.
All right, Bob Stefanowski, good to talk with you. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, you have a great week, Todd, and keep up all the good work.
Thank you, Bob. Talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.